Kumlan and Ablak Gemara up to Rav Chofim and Aleph. Let's learn the schus all of those people who are the Chaylim, and that they should all have a refuah shleim and bekarev. Rav Chofim and Aleph in the Mishnah we learned, we continue learning about gzeiros you do before, you know, things that you're permitted to do before Shabbos, and now we're talking about you're getting things ready on the fire. We're talking about roasting. We'll talk about cooking in the third Paidik, but here we're talking about roasting. Meat or onions or eggs, it has to be already partially roasted or fully roasted before Shabbos. Then we talked about bread, and we said that bread, we had a machlekes there where bread has to become brown, and Abeleza says that the bottom has to become brown. We need to describe the bottom, what exactly he's referring to. A Karm Pesach, we say, is an exception. You can put it right in before Yom Tov, and so too in the Beis HaMikdash, you're permitted to start lighting the fire, and it's good enough. But everywhere else, you have to make sure that in a big bonfire, most of the fire has started before Shabbos. Abuda says, when it comes to coal, you don't have to worry. Once you light it, it'll remain. You won't stoke the coal on Shabbos. So now the Gemara will explain each case. Says the Gemara Bakama, you said it has to be ready before Shabbos when it comes to roasting. How much does it have to be prepared? 100%, 50%? It should be roasting by day. Like this Ben Dursoi, what he's prepared to eat. It's an amazing. Ben Dursoi was a ganef. They didn't have the patience or the time. He was working 24/7. So therefore, they didn't have the time to let it cook all the way. They just cooked it enough that it's made it edible. According to Rashi, it means halfway cooked. According to the Rambam, it means a third of the way cooked. It's amazing this Ben Dursoi, a ganef, has such a chust that his name is always mentioned everywhere. For halacha, itmanam you learned. Amar Abasi, Amar Bichon. Kosher who kemeicha ben desoy. Once something is cooked halfway, according to Rashi, ain boy mishum bishul nochem. It's already considered cooked. There's no iser anymore of bishul akum. That means, you know, a goy cooks for you, you're not allowed to eat the food. But if you already made it edible and the goy just continued from there, it doesn't. The goy didn't really cook it, and therefore it's all right. Tanya, we learned. Is a big machlekes or shayim. So does that mean also, let's say something's already cooked halfway and then you went and on Shabbos, put it on the fire, cook it further, did you do an Issa Deraisa or not? Because maybe it's not even Issa Deraisa anymore because it's already cooked, technically, because it's edible. And you just improved it. Or still Issa Deraisa because mine wasn't fully cooked. Machlekes and Shayim. Tanya, also in Halacha, brought in Sima Shayim Ches. Tanya, we learned. Chananya says, Kol Shehu Kemaychel Ben Desoi. Chananya said, we'll have this in the third Paidik. Big machleik is Rabbanon and Chananya regarding cooked food. And we'll see later, you know, dry and chamin and all that. Before Shabbos, if you want to leave it on the fire, according to Chamin, it has to be fully cooked. According to Chananya, it could be even Maichel ben Dersoy. Mutl hash oisa galki, let it leave on the stove. Afa pish en grufa gtumi. Even though the stove, normally, we'll see later, you have to remove all the coal or you have to put ashes on top or dirt on top to reduce the fire. But when it comes, but according to Chananya, once it's Maichel ben Dersoy, it's permitted. So we see there's a difference between Maichel ben Dersoy before and after. Now, our Gemara here does not really get involved in that machlekes because we're talking about roast. And by roast, it goes a lot quicker than by cooking. And by cooking, there's a machlekes if it's halfway cooked. Are we still worried you might stoke the coal because it takes a long time to get ready and maybe you'll stoke the coal? But when it comes to roast, if it's halfway cooked, there's no reason to stoke the coal. So good to everybody, it's good enough. Next part of the mission is a nice in a pass. You don't place bread in the oven. In those days, they used to stick the bread to the sides of the oven. There was a whole art and skill. It's a whole skill how they did it, and they used to put it on the side of the stove. Now the question is, Rabbi Elazar came along and says that's not enough to be brown. It has to also be the tachn. But the question is, what's a tachten? Is a tachten the side facing the wall, or the tachten is the side facing the fire? And it says the Gemara, it seems that the side facing the fire, the way Rashi learns, browns much quicker, crusts much quicker than the side facing the wall, because it's directly facing the fire. See, boilu. So the question is, what did the Chacham say? What's the Rabbi Elazar saying? Excuse me. Boilu tachten. Heich, what does tachten mean? Is it the gabe taner? Is it the side that's facing the oven? Is that what tachten is? Or dilma tachten heich de gamer? Is it the side that's facing the fire? Is it the side that's attached to the wall, which takes longer? So Rav Elazar actually being machmir is saying that it has to be longer cooked, baked before Shabbos. Or is it the side facing the fire, which is quicker, and therefore Rav Elazar is actually being lenient? Toshma, coming here, Rabbi Elazar says the Braisa actually adds a few words. Which side has to turn, has to brown a crust? The side that's attached to the wall. So we see that Rabbi Elazar is the one who holds the wall, so he is being machmir. The Chachamim, the ones who are lenient, they say the side facing the fire. That's a Rashi, and other Shain disagree. Mishal Shalin as a Pesach. You can lower the Korban Pesach. My time, but why should Korban Pesach be different than others? Mishum de b'nei chabura zrizin hein. By Korban Pesach, you don't have, you can put it right before Shabbos, right before Yom Tov, right before Shabbos. We're not concerned because the members, a number of people involved in one Korban, so therefore they are going to remind each other and won't forget on Shabbos. Holav Hachi says, but if not for that, it seems loy. Yitaka wouldn't be allowed to put this goat or the sheep to barbecue right before Shabbos. Asking what, why? But we learned, well, Amar, didn't we just learn, Mar, Gadya, when it comes to a goat, which is tender, Bain Sharik, whether you seal the wall shut of the oven, Bain Loy Sharik, we didn't, Shapidami, because you would never open the door, it would ruin. Once you put it in, you wouldn't open it to because you would ruin the what you're doing, the grilling. So why do we need to say Korn Pesach is unique? Any tzli is all right. Says the Gemara, Hasan Mintach. When do we say that the door will ruin it by opening it if it's all cut up into pieces? So then the opening the door sort of ruins the whole baking because the heat goes out, escapes, and then it just basically it ruins it. But that's why we need to say that's only by Gedi. Hachavihila Mintach, like it's a whole big piece. So even if you open the door, the wind won't get inside into the goat or the sheep. So therefore, over here we need another reason because by Pesach, the Chabura, they're all the reason. Says the Gemara further, Umachizin Esa'ur. When it comes to the fire, you have to make sure that it catches on to in the base of Migdish. As long as a couple of pieces of wood get caught on fire, that is sufficient. You don't have to have most burning. And everywhere else you do. Says the Gemara Nahal Mili, how do you know that you don't need to? Amarav Huna. It says in the Pasuk, causing more to use the word Nahal Mili, it sounds like there's some Pasuk or something that causes the Beis Hamikdash to have different rules when it comes to these fires. Even though the whole thing is only Gzer de Rabbanon, so it's a modern Lashon. But nevertheless, the Gemara brings a Pasuk, Loisavaru Eish Bechol Mashveh Seichem, in your midst you shouldn't light a fire. In your midst, but you're permitted to light a fire here in the Beis HaMikir. We learned there was a bonfire they used to warm their feet up because they used to walk around barefoot on the marble floor, so they used to, in the stone floor, so they used to go there to warm up. So maskevar of chizda. So you're telling me in Big Chiddush now, you're permitted not only to light the fire of Karbonis and all that on Shabbos, you're also allowed to light the bonfire to keep the feet warm. So why is it we should tell you that you can light it ahead of Shabbos? A couple of pieces of wood is sufficient, but say a bigger Kiddush. You can even light it on Shabbos proper. Definitely you cannot light it on Shabbos. Either Pasuk says don't light a fire in your midst, which means but elsewhere you could. Kro ki osi is coming the mishre evorim upadorim nasa. The Pasuk is coming to permit evorim upadorim, limbs and other parts. That's what's coming for. That you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Navos. Why is it that in this Medurah Beis HaMikdash you can just light a few pieces of log that's sufficient? Because Kohenim Zizinen, Kohenim are learned, and therefore they won't make this mistake. Taz already has a, from Rashi it seems, but it says you're allowed to burn the leftover limbs and all that. It's talking about on Friday's Kabbonis, Friday night you can bring it. Taz already asked, no you can't. You're not allowed to, we learn from another Pasuk, you're not allowed to bring Friday's Kabbonis and Friday night on the Mizbeach. So he says, but it's talking about that you put it on the Mizbeach, that already, if most of it got burnt and the fire went through and through, you can then put it back on the Mizbeach on Friday night. So that's what it's talking about. Otherwise, you can't really chatchila place on the Mizbeach Friday night things that you did during the day. Other time, I have other explanations. Says in one of two dots. And when it comes to outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Kadesh HaTochas, you need that the fire should work its way through before Shabbos. Now, what's considered working its way through? My Ruben, the majority of the bonfire should be lit. There's different ways of understanding. Amar Rav, Rav understood, Roiv Kolechav Echad. You have a number of logs there. Every single one, every single log, most of the log has to be caught, has to catch on fire. Every log. Shmuel says you don't need every individual log. Bring me some more wood to support this wood over here so the fire doesn't burn out. No, but as long as the majority of the bonfire is burning, it doesn't have to be the majority of every single log. Tana, Rav Chiya learned a braisa to support Shmuel. All the Rishayim have a problem that the Rav Chiya should try to support Shmuel. But Rav Chiya, you know, was Rav's uncle, was a student of Rebbe. Shmuel was very young, and the Rav Chiya should go ahead and look for Brais to support Shmuel. They find it a bit odd. So they said, Rav Chiya once learned the Brais, and the Gemara uses that Brais to support Shmuel. We find, at least by the menorah, Rashi says, we find by the menorah that you should, when you light the menorah, you should light, hold the candle there long, the match long enough that the wick should catch on fire on its own. So same thing over here, that you should light the wood, that it should all be burning on its own. It doesn't need any more support. Not that you have to continuously hold a match there to keep the wood going. Then you have to wait there. As long once you lit it long enough that it continued burning on its own without you standing there by, that's enough. What happens? Eitzichidi. You have one log. How much of it before Shabbos? Or how much of it has to burn before Shabbos that you can walk away and say it's all right? Rav says the Rav Ovya that the fire has to be quite strong, that it has to burn through most of the thickness of the log. So you have to be there for a while. Before Shabbos, but others say beroiv hekefai. It means the majority of the circumference, which is more the surface of the log, a lot shorter time. Amar Papa said a Papa Hilcha. Therefore, beinan roiv ovya or beinan roiv hekefai. We had in Gemara brachas a number of times machlekes when it comes to brachas. Do you say this way? Do you say that way? And the Papa would say, well, since there's two opinions, let's say both. Now he's using it not just in davening, but also in halacha. We don't know exactly what Rav said. Did Rav say most of the thickness of the wood, or did he say most of the circumference? He said, you know what? We'll do both. They both have to burn. So the Gemara Ketanoi is actually a machlekes tanoi, whether it's the thickness or whether it's the circumference. Rav Chiya says, how long do you have to let it burn? That the wood can no longer be used for a tradesman because it knows it burns through and through. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seder said, you don't have to go that far before Shabbos. Kadesh tocher ze'eish mishneis dodin, that the fire should hold, should have on the wood on both sides. It should be burning on both sides, on the peripheral. I don't really have a proof for this, but I have a pasuk that alludes to this. It says in the pasuk, I will make a fire, and what will burn? A snake tosef, both sides will burn. Ochle eish, the fire will burn, and v'teichoy nochar. And the inside will dry up. If the both sides of the wood are burning, then obviously the inside will dry up. Hayitzach lemalacha, can you do much work with it? So we see clearly that the kodim of fire means two sides, and as a result of that, obviously it dries, and you can't do much malacha with it. So here we have machlek, is what's considered burning wood. The pasuk it says that the king was sitting there, and after he ripped up, Yoakim ripped up the Eicha and the Kinnis that the Yirmiyahu wrote. It says that he sat there. And in the month of Teves, there's ha'och lefan of Mevaeres, and the och was burning. What, you know, he's burning Megillah. He had this och. What in the world is an och? My och. Och is brotherhood. What does that mean? Amarav achvana, a tree that the things grow there together. That is called a willow tree. That's what we call an achvana. And Shmuel says that no, it means eitzim shenidlavana. It means a number of logs that were put together and they were burning. And you know, you have small twigs, and then the twigs make the bigger ones burning. We once have a person walking around the street, a peddler, and he was screaming, "Who would like to buy achvana?" And we went out to see what he was selling. Ishtakach arvos, he was selling willows. So we see the first opinion. Amravunavuna says, "Kani, when it comes to reeds, there ain't tzrichin the roiv. When it comes to reeds, you don't have to light most of the reeds before Shabbos. If you light a few of them, it's enough. Why? Because they don't burn out. They burn very, very well, and they continue burning, traveling down, and all other reeds will catch on fire. So it's different than an ordinary log fire. But agodin, if you took the reeds and you bound them together, there's no room there to breathe, then tzrichin roiv. Then you have to actually light most of them, because there's no way for the flame to move around, because there's no oxygen there between the reeds, because they're very tightly held together. However, when it comes to garin, when it comes to seeds of a date, there ain't tzrichin roiv. Again, it burns very, very readily, so you don't need the majority of the dates to catch a fire. If you caught on fire, and they'll just continue spreading very quickly on its own, if they're dry. Abenostan b'chayso, if you place a whole bunch of these seeds inside a basket, a wicker basket, and then tzrichin roiv, you need roiv. Why? Because when they're all bunched together, the fire doesn't really have room to move around, and it doesn't necessarily all catch on fire. It can die out. And therefore, with skid, you play around with it. There you have to have majority burning. So that's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says when they're together, it's a chesaron. Dafka when they're spread out, then it burns readily. Rav Chizda argues, maskar Rav Chizda adrab, quite the contrary. Ipcha mistabra, the svara should be the converse. Kani, when it comes to reeds, mevadrin, if they're all scattered all over the place, then you have to light most of them. Because who said that one reed is touching the next reed? They're not contiguous, and therefore the fire can spread out. A godin, if they're all tied together, then very good. But because when they're all tied together, we're not worried that that we know that they're all touching each other, and if they're all touching each other, it's going to burn well. So I got them to learn about them. When they're all tied together, they're not scattered, and everything works out. What about garinin? When it comes to seed, the date seeds, no, I hold exactly the opposite of you. I hold that together is good. It'll burn. When it's spread out, there's no guarantees it'll catch a fire. Garinin, when it comes to seeds, the same thing. Mevadrum, when it comes to seeds, if they're scattered, then you can just light a few. It's good enough. Abenoslan b'chayis, it plays in the basket. But so other around, when it comes to dates, the seeds scattered is no good. You have to light both of them. Who said they're touching each other? But they're all inside in the same basket. Then they will not spread out, and therefore they'll all catch on fire. And you just have to light a few. Exactly the opposite of Rav Huna. Eat manama be like a compromise. Amar of Kahana was a compromise. Of Kahana said, when it comes to kani, when it comes to reeds, I hold, like Rav Huna, Sha'ogna, if you tie them together, Tzrichin Roiv, there's no room for that, there's no oxygen, they can't breathe, and you have to light most of them. Loi Ogdon, if you scatter the reeds around, Ain't Tzrichin Roiv, you light a few, the fire will spread by itself, and it'll jump around, and it'll catch fire everywhere. So I agree with Rav Huna. But when it comes to Garinin, when it comes to the seas, there I agree with Rav Chizda. Tzrichin Roiv, if they're scattered, you need a Roiv, because they're so small, they burn out, they're not really touching each other, and the fire doesn't really jump around. So you have to light the majority. Nosna b'chosel, you place them in baskets, ain't tzrichin roiv, then you don't need a roiv. Tony Rabbi Yeshua said, Arba medoidus, there are four kinds of flames. Ain't tzrichin roiv, these four kinds of flames that they burn very easily, they do not need a roiv. Shall zephis from tar, shall gopher, sulfur, they burn very easily. Shall givina, which is hard to understand exactly what it means. The Rif says, and it's brought down here on the side, the Rif says it means wax. But Rashi gives Givina cheese, I'm not exactly sure how that works. The Sharavav and fats. That these things burn well, and so therefore you don't have to light most of it. The Masnit and the Braisa, we also added V'af also shall kash v'shal glava. We also added straw as well, that they burn very well. And different kinds of straw, and therefore if you light a bit, it'll catch fire and don't worry about it. You don't have to light most of it. Eitzin shall bubble, but the trees that come out of bubble ain't tzrichin roiv. He's a tree that comes out of bubble. You don't have to burn most of them because they burn very, very well. Maska b'yesev mahi. What are these trees from bubble that you're talking about? Ilay musilsi. Are we talking about like little twigs? Hashta psila amrula. Madach. When it comes to a wick, let's say you take material and you dip it into oil and it burns very easily. Omar Ula, Hamadlik, when it comes to something that definitely burns well, Ula says that if you light it, that you have to burn, if you want, let's say, light Friday night candles, you have to light most of the wick. So when it comes to twigs, you can tell me you don't have to light most. Of course you have to light, but madach, something which burns so easily, material that you dipped into oil, you soaked into oil, and that's going to be the wick. You have to make sure that most of it is lit before Shabbos. Then surely twigs, you have to. So what do you mean the trees are bubble? Ella, Rabbi Yisrael Reza says, I'm talking about Shesoicha the Arza. I'm talking about a branch from a cedar tree, because it's very, very dry. And furthermore, there's a wool, which we'll see in the next tomorrow, but if you take the bark, remove the bark from the tree, you will see this kind of a net, a woolen net that's there, and that burns very, very quickly as soon as it comes in contact with fire. So therefore, that's good. And Ravi bar Abba, Rabbi Abba says, you know what it means? It means zaza, moshe belaza, moshe mos. That's what it means. That's what it burns very, very quickly. It burns very quickly. Okay, which we'll talk about now in the next part. Hadnoch Lachim Sees of Shabbos. Now we begin the second page of Shabbos. And now we're working our way up Friday afternoon. So there, the last thing we learned was about preparing for, grilling. And the next thing we do is that we're going to talk about the candles you light before Shabbos. And then we talk about the cooking. We should talk about the cooking right here. Anyway, b'me madlikin. What kind of materials do you use? In a candle, you have two parts. You have the oil and you have the wicks. So we want to know, we're going to talk about both. What kind of wicks can be used that burn well? And we're not scared that you're going to tilt to burn better. In other words, the fire is settled there. It doesn't jump around and flicker. And what also, what kind of oils burn well as well? So now the first part of the Mishnah, we're talking about the wicks. What can we use to light the wicks with, and what can't we? A madlikin. Now, some of the words in the Mishnah we're not going to translate now. The Gemara is going to translate for us what they are. So, a madlikin, we do not light with loy belechesh. We don't light with lechesh. The loy belechesh, nor do we light with chosen. And we'll translate each one where they are in a minute. The loy bekelech, nor do we use kelech as a material for the wicks. The loy bepsilas eden, nor do we use the wick of Eden. The loy bepsilas amidbar, nor the wicks from the wilderness. The loy beyreka shapnei amayim, not the moss that grows on the water, the green that grows on the water. And the loy bezephis, nor do we use tar. The loy beshaiva. Now the Mishnah talks about, we'll see, about the oils that you use. Don't use tar. Don't use wax as an oil. V'loy b'shem ha'kik, nor the oil from a kik, we'll see what that is. V'loy b'shem ha'sreifa, nor oil that has to be burnt, because let's say it's tamidik ha'truma. And v'loy, we'll see later. V'loy b'alya, nor should we use the hindquarters of an animal, which is the fat by the tail. V'loy b'cheliv, nor can we use cheliv, just regular fats. Nochem ha'madam ha'madlikin b'cheliv bushel, you could use cooked chaylev that's melted, you can use that to burn with. Whether cooked or not, you don't use it. Sounds like the Chachamim and Tanakam are saying the same thing, and the Gemara will discuss that as well. Okay, so basically now the Gemara is going to be explaining each item, more like a dictionary, what each item is. So we'll start with the first one. It says the Gemara, the first one is lechesh. What is the word lechesh? Shucha or soicha de arza. This is a branch or the bark of a cedar tree that we had on top of the page. Says the Gemara, if you're talking about a cedar tree, eitz ba'almu, it's a piece of wood. Why would you even think that you can use it as a wick? It's just a tree. So we're explaining ba'amna nisa de izbe, there's that woolen material. When you peel the bark off, you see there's a little bit of woolen material there that grows, that burns very, very well, and that's what we're talking about. The labor chaisen, nor can you use chaisen. What in the world is chaisen? Rabbi Yehuda says, "No oidah shel pishtun." These are the remnants of flax, and the remnants of flax, you shouldn't use them at all. You're telling me that chaisen is the remnants of flax. There is a pasuk where it says, "V'hoya chaisen l'noidus," that the chaisen, those who are strong, will one day will become weak like the noidus, like the residue of flax. So we see that chaisen and noidus are two very different things. Elamar Abaya says, do you know what it is? You know what chaisen is? Kisna. This is the material that it's flax, the dayik, the loinuffits. You beat it, you had beaten it, but you didn't clean out yet, take out all the bad fibers that cannot turn into a material that you can use, so that he hasn't completed the job. So you shouldn't use that. V'loi bekelech, what's kelech? Omar Shmuel Shaltina Lechon Chusiyama asked all those travelers in the sea, what in the world is this kelech? But Amri, and they all told me that really it's called Kulcha Shmei, it's called Kulcha. Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Gidyon says, so what exactly is that? So he says it is Gushkra. He says, you know what it is? It's Gushkra. So it's an inferior kind of silk. It's an inferior kind of silk. Ravim Vabaya, so the Gemara tells a story regarding this matter. Ravim Vabaya, Havayasvi Kameh, the Rabban Nechemiah, they were both sitting for Rabbi Nechemiah, Achua, the Reish Galusa, the brother of the Reish Galusa. Chazia, they saw the Havi Lovish, he was wearing Metachsa. They saw that he's wearing a Metachsa, it's a silk garment that's made from Kelech. Now, we just said before, Kelech is an inferior kind of silk. And here was the brother of Reish Galusa, who obviously was a very choshev person, a very wealthy person, and he was wearing a garment made out of this inferior silk. How can I be? Amle Rav Labaya and Rav Labaya, Haine Kelech, and Rav Labaya, this is Kelech. Now, according to Ravin, what this person was wearing was inferior silk. And so it's not. Amle, so Rav Labaya said, no way. what he's wearing is not kelach. Anan shira pardon accordingly. What he's wearing is a very fancy kind of a silk. That can't be kelach. No way the brother of the Reish Galusa would walk around with second class material. Mesve, we ask a question. Hashiroyim, if you're wearing silk, it says in this thing, Bahakelach, if you have silk, or kelach, or siddikin, or if you have a siddikin, siddikin is already another kind of, of flax that was worked through, or from silk, that siddikin is, and Rashi says, is the little strands that hang out from the silk, the tender silk, that, you know, the little strands hanging all over, and not finally, you know, cut off and so on. They're all chayavim betzitzis, they're chayavim betzitzis. What's the chiddush? Because there is an opinion that we had that the only begodim that mahatera chayavim betzitzis are wool and linen. And that's why a lot of people are very makbit to wear only wool and talus cottons, because only wool and linen is a mitzvah that I said. All other materials like cotton is only midirabban. So they want to argue that, so this b'raisa is coming to argue and says no, that other materials are also chayav midiraisa. Or this b'raisa is saying that this midirabbanon, if you have beged avi materials, you chayav mitzitzis. But the point of this is we have here kelach. We have kelach is separated from shiroyin and tzadikin. So the question on Ravin. Ravin said that kelach is fancy, kelach is good material, because he showed us on the brother of the Rishgulus who's wearing it, and he clearly, we see that kelach and shiroyim are two different things. And Abaye seems to be right, that kelach is inferior flax. So Gemara said, you're right, tiyufta de Ravin tiyufta. We reject, repudiate what Ravin said. Not everyone is going to say it, because the next line of the Gemara, after we repudiate what he said, we Ibaye will come and answer that basically you can maintain what he said, which is usually not the normal way of the text. So some people are mashmit, remove, omit those words tiyufta ravin. Or yibayis ema, others say it's not a question. Shira luchud v'shira paranda luchud. That shira paranda and shira are two different things. That kelach could be shira paranda, and shirayim is shirayim. It's two different things. That's why the braisa mentions them separately. So it doesn't prove anything. Nor in the wick of Eden. What's Eden? Achvina. This is the willows. Again, Ravin v'Avin, a story to prove this. I'm not sure what the two dots are. Ravin and Abaya, Havik Ozli, they were once traveling the peaks of the Tamarisa, in the valleys of a place called Tamarisa. Chazinu lahano arbasa, they saw these willow trees. Amr Ravin Abaya, Haina Eden. Rosh Abaya, this is the Eden that Nan, the Lintan Mishnah. These willow trees. Amalei said, Abaye asked him, "Hoeitz ba'almu? This is a tree. Why would you even think that it's good?" Kolaf. So Rovin went over. He peeled some of the bark off the tree. The achvel, and he showed him amanisa de beina beina. He showed him that material, that little cotton that grows between the bark and the tree itself, and that's what burns. Then the mission said, "V'loy bepsilas hamibar, no wicks from the wilderness." What exactly is that? Is shavra? These are tall grass. Rashi says that grow, and that, I guess, can be used for wicks, but they don't burn well. Not exactly sure what kind of grass they are. Then he says here, v'loy b'yireken, nor the green, sha'al, nor the green, that green, you know, substance that grows on water. Mahi, what are we referring to? Ilema, are we talking about uchmusa de chaditze? That let's say you dug irrigation pipes, or you have little canals, and it grows on it, because it's so still, it grows on it, this green moss. Ifruchim ifruchin. How can you even think that you're going to contemplate, you can use it as a wick? When you pick it up, it just falls apart, it breaks apart. El Rapover, we're not talking about the green that grows on the water, but Uchmusa the Arba, we're talking about green that grows on a boat, on the underside of a boat that stays in one place, and in the water, there are green forms, and that green is much stronger. Tana, we learned, the Bryce says, Haisifu Alei, and we added a few more materials, that Shaltzemer, made out of wool, Vishalsar, made out of hair. Those two also should not be used as wicks. How come our Mishnah omits that? Vitana didan. Our Mishnah says that you don't have to mention those, because everyone realizes practically it's just impossible. It'll never burn anyway. Well, because tzemer, you know what happens to wool when you light it? If you make a wick out of wool, mikavitz kavitz, it'll shrink straight away. And therefore there's nothing left. It can't burn. And sad here, icharuche michrech, it burns straight away. So there's nothing to talk about having a wick made out of that material. Then the Mishnah starts a new section, which is led by Zephyr. So don't use tar, don't use pitch. Zephyr, what exactly is Zephyr? Zephyr is Zifsa. So we're talking about, when we say over here Zephyr, we're talking about the leftover part. And Shaiv is Kirusa, wax. So it's pitch and wax. Tana Vilit Nebraisa commenting in our Mishnah, Ad Kam Psul Psilis, till here, till it comes to the part of the pitch and the wax. We're talking about things which you want to, materials you want to use as a wick. From now on, we're talking about oils. That certain, these are not oils that you shouldn't use. Pshita, isn't that obvious? It's clear. I mean, we're talking now about things, oil, obviously, about the oils. Wasn't no shaivis, the chiddush is when it comes to wax. I would have thought that wax shouldn't be used as an oil, but nor should it be used as a wick. Lipsilz nami lechazi, it should not be used as a wick. Kamash v'lan comes to teach you that you can use it as a wick. Now, what do you mean wax as a wick? So Rashi learns, it means like our wax candles are used for Chanukah licht. So basically, because it's vertical and it's the entire length, and you put a wick inside it, it's as if the wax itself is part of the wick. We would have thought you couldn't use such candles on Shabbos. And the Gemara says you could. So according to Rashi and most Rishonim, if you want to use wax candles for Shabbos, you can. However, there are some Goanim who learn that no, that wax as a wick, they have a different pshat in the Gemara here, cannot be used for Shabbos candles at all. Because they're using the wax as a wick. So the Gemara writes, or the waxes as oil. When we'll see the word Itran later on, we're going to see the word, we're going to learn that it has a terrible, terrible stench. And it's a question if you can use it for fried for candles, because you're not going to want to sit, there's no only Shabbos when you light your candles with such a terrible stench. So what's this Itran? That's Psoilta, that's the left remnant of Zifta from Tar. And Shaiva, what Shaiva? It's Psoilta the Dusha, is the remnants of honey, the residue of honey. So you know, who cares? What do I need to know exactly what the material is made out of? I know is I walk in the store and I buy Itana, I know, you know I'm getting Itana, or I'm buying Shaiva. But I have to know it comes from the leftover from beeswax. The man of the gaya is if you're going to buy and sell something. So when you buy and you're buying and you're using some of the word Shaiva, using this word, you know exactly what you are getting and nothing else. Tana Banan, just a few more lines, we learned, Kolelush Amru, all of these that we said, Ein Madlikim Behem Shabbos, all of these we said that these substances you shouldn't use in Shabbos. Aval Oisimen, you know, you don't use it for Shabbos Licht. Aval Oisimen, but you are permitted to use Medura. You're allowed to make a big flame out of it. Bainly is Chamu Kenegda, whether you want to light, you want to burn, you know, warm yourself up against it. Bainly Shtam Zloid, you want to use it for light. Bain Al Gabi Karka, whether it's on the ground. Bain Al Gabi Kida, whether it's on the stove. If you want to make a big flame out of it, it's not a problem. Why is that a problem? Because it'll never go out. But the Osir Lasman Psil Nebavat, only when if you want to make it a single wick for a candle, we are concerned it'll go out and you're going to start tilting and playing with the fire to keep it burning. But when you have a big bonfire, it'll never go out, it'll burn well. And so what one would, you know, darkens a bit, another one lights up. So we're not concerned that you are going to tamper with it on Shabbos itself. Okay. We'll.